Every wife has an awesome power. It's the power of influence. Here's Ann Wilson.
Ladies, I want you to know what it's like to be a man. You see, as little boys, here's what happened. We grow up, and we usually have our moms cheering for me, like, good job, David, good job. And so he says, and I played college football, so every Saturday, I had a stadium of people like, Dave Wilson is the man, yes. He said, and then we beat you, and you're saying to us, you are the man, and out of all the men in the universe, I choose you, and you're applauding, yes, yes. And he goes, and then we get married.
This is Family Life Today for Tuesday, March 9th. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. How are you stewarding the awesome power you have as a wife to encourage, to motivate, to build up your husband? We're going to hear more about that today from Ann Wilson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. Today is Equal Time Day.
Okay? Equal time?
Yeah, equal time. So we've already heard from you this week about what real manhood is all about.
And you're done with me now, aren't you?
We are done with you.
That's enough of you. I get it.
We heard a part of a message from one of our Love Like You Mean It marriage cruises, and we're doing that because this week we are letting our listeners know we are cruising.
Yes, baby.
In
2022.
Right, we are.
The wind will be blowing through my hair on the top deck of that Love Like You Mean It boat.
If you had hair, that would be true.
But you're wishing it was true.
we are so excited about the fact that after having to cancel for a year, we're back, and it looks like everything is full speed ahead. All systems go for the cruise in 2022.
Woo-hoo! We're going.
We have opened registration. People are already booking their staterooms. A lot of people are like, we cannot wait. Can we do it in September instead of Valentine's?
And you may think it's not going to sell out because, you know, we...
Coming out of COVID,
but it's going to sell out. You better get your ticket.
Yeah. You can go to familylifetoday.com for more information about the cruise and to find out how you can sign up right now this week. The best price available for the cruise. You can save $400 per couple off your cabin registration.
Do it.
And that's good this week. So call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY or go online to find out more about the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. We're going to hear today the first part of a message that you did with the wives on the cruise back a few years ago, Ann. We heard from your husband with the guys, but you like getting together with the women and talking about what God's design for womanhood is.
I love being with women. I think part of it is because we're all struggling with the same thing and we can admit it and we can laugh about it and we can cry about it, but it is fun.
And your goal in this message is to talk about how important and how powerful it is for a wife to be committed to supporting, affirming, believing in her husband, right?
Right. We're going to talk about attitude, our words, our actions, and how to support and respect our men when it's not always easy to do that.
I really like this message.
Oh.
Well, let's listen in. Here's Ann Wilson talking to women on board the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise a few years back.
Finally, we're together. I have been giddy about us being together. Speaking to women is one of my favorite things, and it's not because I feel like I have anything really that great to say, but it's because when we get together as women, there is a sense of, I'm not the only one, you know, of going through things. I'm going to take you through my journey that's been a difficult journey for me of learning how to love, support, and respect Dave. And I'm going to be very truthful. When I was growing up, my mom was this amazing mother. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my mom was probably the greatest servant I've ever witnessed then and now in my life. She would do for my dad. She would serve my dad. And he took advantage of it and took her for granted, and it made me angry. And I felt like, Mom, stop being so nice to him. You're enabling him to be lazy. As I got older, I was angry with her. And she would say, I like doing this for your dad, but I saw her as a doormat, and I didn't respect her for it, and I didn't get it. And then when we came to speak for Family Life, I was only 29 when we came on. We've been married 10 years. So as 30-year-old, I'm getting up here addressing women. And I'll never forget pulling out the notes and the first time studying what I was going to say and figuring out what I was going to say. And in the notes, if you've ever been to a weekend to remember, you'll see that one of the first things that we teach in family life is Genesis, how it says that God has called the woman to be a helper to the man. And so I'm looking at that, and I keep looking at the word helper. And here's what I think. Where's my helper? Why does the husband get a helper? Why don't we get a helper as the women? If you see, you guys, I told you I'm not nice. So, you know, I'm sitting there like, so then I think, you know what? Maybe I just have the wrong definition for the helper. And so I look it up in the dictionary, and it says a gopher. A person that does the dirty work. Someone important tells them what to do. It's like, see? And so I'm talking to Dave like, honey, I don't think I can speak for family life because I don't like that I don't get a helper. And like, look at, you need to understand what it means in Hebrew. The word helper means to completer. You help to complete me. And then I'm like, okay, all right, I get that. So this whole journey, as you can see by that illustration, has not been easy for me. And I seem to be that person that learns the hard way. So Dave and I had been married probably about 15 years, 10 to 15 years, and I was asked to speak at our church to the MOPS group, the Mothers of Preschoolers. And so I was going, I said, honey, why don't you come with me? That would be fun, like we should do it together. The women would get a guy's perspective because they wanted us to speak on marriage. And so Dave starts, he starts getting into this, and he's speaking to all these women, and he's talking, he goes, ladies, I want you to know what it's like to be a man. You see, as little boys, here's what happened. We grow up, and we usually have our moms, and he grew up in a single, his mom raised him as a single mom, and my mom was cheering for me, like, good job, David, good job. And so I like that, and little boys are always saying, mom, watch, watch, and your moms are always saying, good, way to go, good job. He said, and then we get older as guys, and we go into middle school and high school and elementary school, and we usually start to find what we're good in. And there's usually someone along the line, a teacher, a coach, or something that we're good at, that we start hearing other people applaud for us. Yes, good job, you're the man. Now, I had never heard Dave say any of this before. I'm like, whoa, look at this, this is some new stuff, this is good. So he says, and I played college football, so every Saturday, and he was a quarterback, I had a stadium of people like, Dave Wilson is the man, yes, yes. He said, and then we are dating and we meet you, and you're saying to us, you are the man, you are the man, and out of all the men in the universe, I choose you, and you're applauding, yes, yes. And he goes, and then we get married. Now I'm over here in the chair like, where are you going with this now? He goes, we get married and it feels like we walk in the door of our homes and all we hear is, boo, boo. He looks at me at this point and I'm like, what? And then he feels really bad. He's like, oh, we haven't really talked about this. I'm clueless. Clueless. And so we kind of get in this fight right there. I'm like, what do you mean I boo? I'm not booing you. It was terrible, like so terrible. So we get in the car, I'm like, what was that about? So I said, you feel like I boo you? And he goes, yeah. I feel like you're continually disappointed. I feel like I do something and you're always critiquing it. And so then I get really defensive. And I said, I am helping you. Like, I, because my heart is really, truly, it's not to harm him. I said, honey, I'm telling you that people are not speaking the truth to you, and I will. I am a gift to you, right? Don't you feel like that? I am your gift. He's like, all I hear is boo. Which then takes me on this journey of getting in the Word, and I come across Proverbs 21:9. and it says, it's better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. All right, I live in Michigan, so I'm imagining when I read this, the middle of winter, and I'm imagining Dave on the corner of my roof in the snow, shuddering cold, and it's better for him to be out there than in the house with me. Oh, and then I was thinking too, as I started studying for Family Life and thinking about what I would say as a speaker, and I remember reading Ephesians 5:33. Let me tell you, I love Ephesians. It's the most practical book in the Bible, I feel like, one of them. Because the first three chapters, it's six chapters. First three chapters are all about doctrine, theology. This is the truth. This is who God is. This is who he says we are. And then the last three chapters are all about practical application of that truth. So here's the truth. Now here's how to apply the truth. So Ephesians, we find out what we're called to be as women, what men are called to be as husbands, as parents, and it ends in chapter 6 with putting on the armor of God. Like, we can't do it without the armor. So in Ephesians 5:33, when it talks about, and you've heard this so much, how the man should love his wife, how the woman should respect her husband, I put down in here the Amplified version because I feel like it's much more direct and descriptive. So it says this, the beginning of it says, however, let each man of you love his wife as his very own self. And here it is. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. What does that mean? That she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. And so when I look at that, I think, God, I want to do that, but what does that look like? First of all, I would say this. We can intentionally choose God's design, or we can unintentionally fall into the culture's demise. What is God's design? That's what we're going to look at, but you do know what culture's design is. Don't you think that there, our culture tells us it's 50-50? Here's the problem. Here's what I do, even when I know the right way. If Dave isn't doing his part, if he's not giving 50, I think he's not giving 50, he's giving 30. So then I give 30, and he's doing nothing. So why should I do anything? That's what the culture tells us. It's all about us. And so what is God's game plan? Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. When I think about that, I think, how am I building my house? What am I doing right now that I'm building it? I'll never forget Andy Stanley saying this. Your husband should be able to tell how much God loves him by the way you treat him and love him and admire him. Your husband may have no idea what God is like, but he should be able to know by the way you treat him. The way you respect him, he will have a glimpse of how much God adores him. And I think what we do as women, we're like, can I go work in the children's wing in the church instead of that? Because that's so much harder, isn't it? He should know how much God loves him by the way we treat them. And let me tell you, in Ephesians, it says this, to submit to one another out of, this is the part, out of, anybody know what the next part is? Reverence. For whom? For God. Who do we do it for? Why do we love him? Because he deserves it? No, because God deserves it. It's our devotion. It's our way of serving him. So it starts with, first of all, our attitudes. What does respect look like to your man? It demonstrates respect by, first of all, your attitude. Look at Ephesians 4:22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, look at this part, to put off our old self. Why? Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the first, what's that word? Attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you ever find yourself griping in your head and complaining? I will never forget, I was so mad at Dave. He'd been gone so much. I felt like he wasn't helping. I felt like he wasn't listening to me. And I remember folding the laundry. And I remember like folding it, and the whole time I'm building like this whole scenario of like, he doesn't do anything, and he's lazy, and he doesn't notice me. I'm just folding it and folding it. And I felt like God said to me, What would happen if you prayed as much as you complained in your head? Yes. As we think about our husbands, it turns into action, but it starts right here in our minds. And I think that we don't realize and we forget the influence and the power that we have as women. We have so much power to make them great, and we have the power to crush them in an instant. It's a heady responsibility that we have, and God has given it to us and entrusted it to us, and He has chosen you. He's chosen me to help make my husband the man that he wants. I don't know if I can do it sometimes, and I know I can't apart from his spirit. What does an attitude look like? An attitude of unconditional respect. It says that God commands the wives to respect our husbands without conditions, without him earning it. He is God's gift to us and comes with a blessing. And it's an attitude of honor. Our culture treats men like they're stupid. And we as women can treat men like they're stupid. When we treat them as they're stupid, they will act like they're stupid. Honestly, I think that, this is so embarrassing. I think sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm just smarter than Dave. You know, we're better communicators, and I think we get prideful as women and we treat our husbands like they're not as great as they really are. I read this quote by Stu Weber. He said, "A woman can so easily crush a man's spirit with a word, with a look, with a shrug of indifference. Her cynicism is utterly emasculating and many times incredibly subtle. Like a fine, thin blade, it slices his deep, penetrating to the very core of his masculine soul." Oh, those are hard words to hear. Also, Dave and this is just a terrible illustration. Dave was on the phone. He had made a hotel reservation for some friends coming in. And I was in the other room and I could hear him talking on the phone and I could tell that they lost the reservation, that they didn't take the reservation. And so Dave was being really nice. He's like, "Oh, okay, well, do you think that there's another room we could get?" I am instantly, this is terrible, I am instantly like, I can handle this. Like, I will get this done. Do you guys ever, any of you like that? Like, here. So I walk in the room like, give me the phone. Just give me the phone. This is the attitude, you know, like I can do these things. I'm better than you. I'm better than you. So he gets so mad. He takes the phone, he throws it on the ground, and he walks out of the room. He doesn't usually do that. And I will tell you, here's the first signs that you know that you've disrespected your man. It's one of two things, anger or they stonewall. I should have known instantly. I didn't know any of this stuff back then, but I should have known instantly I so disrespected him. And the next thing, he walked out of the room, and here's what he says. "Why don't you just cut it off, Ann?" Like, that's embarrassing to me, that I would be so prideful, thinking that I can get that done, that I would emasculate him like that. Who cares? It's a hotel room, Ann. And I have the power to make him great, and I have the power to crush him. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that story. And I apologized to him later because it was so flagrant that I could see it so clearly. And that's what I mean by, like, I learn the hard way sometimes. So how are you doing? I want you to grade yourself on a 1 to 5, 5 being great, 1 being not so great. How are you doing with your attitude and respecting your husband? Just kind of mentally think, where am I? And it's funny, I think about my parents, how I said that my mom was a doormat. They have become believers, and for the last 9 years, my mom has been struggling with Alzheimer's. And one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen in my life is watching my dad, who I felt like was so self-centered, who took her for granted, but my mom just loved him and served him and believed in him and cheered for him. And to watch him, he does everything for her. She only recognizes two people, my dad and me. He puts lotion on her arms. He cooks all of her food. He does all the laundry. He cleans the house, the things that I've never in my life seen him do. And I told him, like, "Dad, I respect you so much." He's like, "How could I not?" He said, "She's my partner. She's my girl. And she's loved me so well her whole life. How could I not do the same for her? Because she's made me who I am."
And the parts, when I looked at her, I thought were so weak. My dad told me she'd come and she'd always speak her mind in the bedroom with respect, just because she wasn't ranting and railing as I was doing in the other room. I want to be that. And it starts with our surrender to Jesus. Can I tell you how much he loves you, how he knows you, how he sees you, how he longs to walk with you and comfort you, how he longs to encourage you and use you, all of your gifts, all of your wonderful traits, he sees it. Let him be your best friend. Let him be your redeemer and your savior. Let him change us. We can make a world of difference because our greatest witnessing tool of the future will be your marriage. We as women are powerful. Let us surrender to the King who can give us the strength and power we need to become the women he wants us to be.
Well, we have been listening to Ann Wilson addressing a room full, a ballroom full of women. You were fired up.
I was a little excited, wasn't I?
But there is something about wanting to challenge and encourage and just motivate these women to be God's women, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about it. And yeah, and sometimes I get pretty amped
That's
about
awesome.
It, too.
I don't know what you said, but I'm ready to go. Let's go take the world. And by the way, you know, I have a little secret I know about what happened that day.
Yes.
I think this is true.
I have no idea.
We'll have to find out, because the man who I heard this from is sitting beside me. But I heard one Bob Lapine wanted to hear Ann Wilson speak, so he snuck in the room and laid down on the floor, or somehow you listened to her message. Is that true?
I was backstage while you were doing this whole message. I was on the side, because I did. I wanted to hear you speak to the women.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out and said, every woman... Not just on the boat. Every woman listening to Family Life Today needs to hear that. So I'm glad we were able to feature it for Family Life Today listeners. Actually, what we heard was a condensed version of your message. The expanded version is available online. You can download it when you go to familylifetoday.com. I should mention, all of our past programs, everything we've got is free, downloadable. Anything you want to go search for a subject or whatever, that's all there, and it's there for you for free. And while you're on the website, look for information about the Love Like You Mean It cruise that's happening next February. I mean, we're all pretty excited about getting back on the boat and being able to be out. And right now is the best time for a Family Life Today listener to reserve a stateroom for the 2022 Family Life Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. We have a special offer we make during March. It expires on March 22nd, so this is the season for you to call in or go online and reserve your stateroom. You'll save some money. In fact, it's the best offer we make on staterooms throughout the year. So if you want to take advantage of the best offer, go to familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY and say, I want to know more about the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. We may be interested. I want to reserve a room. What happens if COVID comes back? I mean, we can answer all of that stuff, right? All you have to do is go to familylifetoday.com and say, I'm interested, and reserve a room and start making plans for a week at sea on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. I just have a sense that next year's cruise is going to be extra special, with a lot of people who are so glad to be with us for that week. So again, go to familylifetoday.com for more information or call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Again, take advantage of the special pricing that's available now until March 22nd. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear from our friend Gary Thomas, who wrote the book Sacred Marriage. He's written a lot on marriage and on relationships. He joined us a while back on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise and gave a wonderful message on how we can proactively bless our spouse in marriage. And we'll hear from Gary tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. Got some extra help from Bruce Goff. And, of course, our entire broadcast production team was involved in all of this. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.